Ryan Rashog joins us. Shog, you ever eat Spam as a kid?
No.
Really?
No, I never did.
But you've seen it.
Yeah, and it's sketchy, isn't it?
Oh, it's awful.
like I don't know who eats. Yeah, it's just meat in a can, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like ham in a can with jellied stuff to keep it preserved on top. It's gross. Ugh.
What's up? Why are we talking about Spam?
Oh, we were just talking about the worst, like the food you won't eat.
Oh. Whew. You know what? You know what I'm having a real tough time with right now is sushi.
Really?
I never ate sushi my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And then just got into it the last couple of months. Really, like lots of sushi. And then I don't think it had anything to do with the sushi at all, but I caught a wicked flu. And sushi was the last thing I'd eaten before the flu. And all night long, you're sitting there feeling sick, thinking about the sushi you ate. And I still, we're 6 weeks later, I still cannot even go near sushi. Because now I'm associating it with that flu I had. It's just awful.
Wow, that's tough.
That's a good food that was ruined. Like, why couldn't
Yeah, but you got to get back on the bandwagon. It wasn't sushi.
It's tough, though, man. It's tough. Even just thinking about it right now, I just, you just get that bad association. That's happened to me one other time in my life with a Greek salad, and still I struggle with Greek salad. That was years ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. See, I've never been there. I'll tell you right now, best sushi place in Edmonton is the Ichiban place on 149th Street. It is awesome. Like, seriously, ridiculous good.
Huh. Well, I'd say I would have to try it, but I don't know that I'll ever be able to.
No, you might have to try it. It's very good. Very good. The New York Rangers, Los Angeles Kings. Before the series, everyone said, well, the Kings are in way tougher because of Henrik Lundqvist. There's no way they're going to score as many goals on him. And here we are, two games in, and they're averaging 4 goals a game.
Yes. But it's not the walk that some thought that it might be. I mean, the Kings are up 2-0 in the series, but the games have been pretty competitive, pretty close. And it easily could be 1-1. It easily could be 2-0 the other way as well. So, but you're right. It hasn't been this epic goaltending battle. There have been some timely saves and some nice saves, and both guys have taken turns. But really, nobody's just completely gone unconscious and shut it down. And that's what we thought we would see at least once from these guys, but we haven't yet. And so it's a little more wide open. You're seeing Rangers jump out to early leads. You're seeing those leads get blown. Neither Quick nor Lundqvist is really grabbing it by the throat.
No, well, I love the fact that it's you got to play all the 60 minutes, and as a fan, you got to watch it all because no lead is safe. Like I find it way more entertaining than watching teams just batten down the hatches, play trap, boring hockey.
Yeah, no, I agree. And you have to wonder how much this is crawling into the skulls of the New York Rangers, too. Not being able to hang on to a lead and knowing that LA's got this quality about them that they just, at no point are they out of the game, because it's almost like, at what point would the New York Rangers feel comfortable in one of these games, right? Well, 0-0, okay, maybe off the top in the first period. They know they're a good first period team. But, man, you're up 2-0 in the game, and you probably start feeling nervous. You probably can't help it. But the doubt starts to creep in, and you start to feel the nerves, and you don't want to be the guy that makes the mistake that lets the comeback start coming. And it's got to be getting into the Rangers' heads that they've blown all these leads. So even when they have a lead, they can't. And it's not about, I mean, you should never be comfortable in a game or sit back and relax. But what I'm saying is I bet they're playing nervous with a 2-goal lead, and that's tough. And maybe that's part of why they haven't been able to put their foot right on the throats of the Kings and finish them. They're playing nervous with these leads.
They are. There's been so much talk about, wow, Brad Richards buyout. And I know it will never happen, but, man, what about a Rick Nash buyout? Like, I'm sorry, that guy never delivers on his contract.
Yeah. Well, the only time he delivers is when he's not getting paid by Hockey Canada. But, yeah, no, I agree. He's not producing the way that the contract would expect him to produce, the way his stature in the game would expect him to produce. 10 points in 22 games in an important playoff year and his first chance at a cup. Yeah, it's a disappointment. I was thinking this might be the stage that motivated him to really elevate his game and show that he's still world class, but there hasn't been much there. And it's, yeah, if you're the Rangers, it's definitely disappointing that you're not getting more out of him. That was a big trade, and here they are in a big moment, and he's just kind of persona non grata. He just hasn't really done anything.
Ryan Schock from TSN joins us. Schocker, Edmonton orders number 3 overall draft pick.
Yes.
Go back to junior?
Yeah, we've kind of beat this one around before. It's so tough to just automatically say this is the way it has to be. I mean, it really is, because it depends on who they pick, and it depends on, I guess, what some of their other young guys do. I mean, I'm not ready to say that if they manage to find a way to get Ekblad, I'm not going to say he absolutely has to go back. People feel, and scouts seem to think, that he's NHL ready. So I guess I just don't think you can color everybody with the same brush that way. A couple of these smaller centers, I would probably consider it.
What about Draisaitl?
If it's Ekblad, what's that?
What about Draisaitl?
Well, again, he's one of the ones that they're saying could potentially be ready. Now,
Yeah, but see, here's the thing. It's a bunch of coulds. What is the benefit on a young team to get younger at a harder position? Like, I don't understand it. I do not understand. Like, to me, this should be a rather easy decision to just say, you know what? You're going back to junior because, A, we're not a very good team. And if we expect an 18-year-old to cure our woes, then we're even worse than we thought.
Yeah.
And B, if you keep him, then you've got him and Ryan Nugent-Hopkins as your top two centers, most likely, right?
Yeah.
Or if Sam Gagner's here and you're like, what are you doing? Like, I just, the arrows point to the wise decision. If the Oilers ever actually want to be good, I think they have to be now more patient than ever and not try to speed up the process and look at the bigger picture. And that, you know what, if Leon Draisaitl or Sam Benner, even Sam Reinhart, have to spend another year in junior, it will help them and us long term.
Yeah, it's not the end of the world if they go back. It's absolutely not. And it's probably not going to hurt anybody to go back. You look back at Alex Galchenyuk, right? He was a 3rd overall pick. And, you know, his first year in the league, he ended up 20-some point, almost 30 points, I think, during the lockout year. So it was a decent year for him. But played three... Well, he missed the 1 year of junior, but he played the full year, and then he played a half year.
Right? You kind of have to put an asterisk because you're right. He played a half year of junior and then came up.
Yeah, exactly. So a little bit of a different situation there. But, yeah, I mean, I think they don't want any more young, small-skilled forwards. They can't have that on their roster next year. So if it's one of the smaller centers, I think you got to think about it. Draisaitl will be a little bit of a different dimension, even though he's young. So I think you wait to see what he looks like. And the defenseman, I mean, I would expect Darnell Nurse not to necessarily make the Oilers this season. So if he's not going to be around and this kid is clearly ready, maybe you have to consider it, because I hate to break it to you, man, but there's not much there on the back end. And if this guy is ready and is going to be a good player in the next 2 to 3 years and you get him started, I don't think you're hurting yourself necessarily by doing it. So I would put a little bit of a question mark beside Ekblad, just because young defensemen can come into the league and play, and this Oiler team is not that great so on the back end. So it wouldn't surprise me if he made it.
Yeah, Ekblad's maybe is the only one. But the difference is because you can protect him and play him 15 minutes a night as a defenseman,
exactly.
And he learns a lot, where you're not going to do that with offensive centermen, right? Like, offensive centermen get thrown to the wolves, basically, if you're going to play them any sort of minutes.
And part of the other problem is that the expectations on the Oilers from the fans and from management will be for them to push hard for a playoff spot and not to have anything close to the kind of start they had last year. So Dallas Eakins is not going to be in a situation where he can just nurse in another 18, 19-year-old kid, and no matter what he does, just keep giving him the minutes. They're not going to be in that situation. It's time for them to start pushing for a playoff spot. So the whole developing the kids and playing them through it, that's kind of come and gone a little bit. If they're going to keep somebody, they're going to have to keep somebody who's usable, or not risk putting them on the ice all the time because they need to try and push for a playoff spot here. And it's a tall order. They're not good enough right now. They got a lot of work to do.
Yeah, I don't see them pushing for a playoff spot unless somehow Craig McTavish makes like four really good moves. I think that team is, they're that far away, especially in the Pacific.
Yeah, well, I'm with you, but what do you think expectation is, though? I'm with you in terms of what's realistic. Like where they sit right now, that blue line, and where they're at, and down the middle, like their blue line and their centers are a significant issue.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how you push for a playoff spot, but what do you think ownership wants to see? What do you think management
expects? Well, see, this is one where their actions can contradict their words, and I don't have an issue with it. They can, you know, try to make moves, and if they don't happen, then guess what? You come in and you say, you know what? We want our guys to be competitive and work hard, and you know what? We expect to be competitive every night. You can find a way to word it and spin it however you want. Saying we expect to be competitive every night isn't coming out and saying we expect to be in the playoffs. Because now I understand every team expects to want to compete. So if you say we want to compete for the playoffs, fine. But as long as those are words, but their actions show that, you know what, we're going to be patient, I would be okay with it. Otherwise, they're going to be chasing their tail for the next few years.
Yeah, see, and that's the thing. So if you believe that their thought process is it's development first and foremost for the next few years still, then that's we're getting on a lot of years here, and I wonder where the patience level is going to be at. But it is the smart thing to do, to continue to be patient, with Darnell Nurse, to be patient with their young defensemen that are coming, to be patient with their young forwards. But I don't know that where this thing is at now, how deep they are into this, how much patience there will be. So Craig's got a ton of work to do on the blue line. It's so far and away job number one. Nothing else even comes close to it.
To me, I look at the center depth on this team, and I'd argue it's worse than the defensive depth.
Oh, I don't know, man. To be able to compete defend next season, I think that blue line's got a ways to go. You could argue that they definitely need a two center. Boyd Gordon can play as a three again if he has to. Gagne, they probably need an upgrade at two, and Nugent Hopkins isn't a one yet. So I agree with you that they need a lot of work there. But to me, they need three legitimate NHL caliber veteran defensemen for that decor to have any kind of a sniff. And I don't know where you're going to go get those guys.
Oh, well, they're not going to get elite-level guys all in one fell swoop. I think they're hoping that Oscar Kleff, like to me, I actually think Oscar Kleffbaum's ahead of Marinson, my own opinion. I think if you came to camp and they had a head-to-head battle, I think Kleffbaum would win.
Yeah, it wouldn't stun me if Kleffbaum was ahead of him in camp this year. It wouldn't stun me, because I think he's Oscar Kleffbaum is a fairly high-level prospect who had his development stunted significantly with a bad injury, right? And now he's starting to come through that, and now that he's gotten his opportunity, I think he's shown that he belongs in the NHL. It's just he needs to start right from training camp, make the team, go through exhibition, and hit the ground running during the regular season. And I think he sets up to probably be as effective or more effective than Marinson this year, but we'll wait and see. I mean, what they want to see out of Marinson is for him to come in and have 15 extra pounds on. That's what they need to see from him, for him to show that he's ready to be a pro NHLer. Because I don't know if you've seen Kleffbaum or not, but that kid is a pro already.
Oh, no argument for me.
Just the physicality of him, right? I mean, you can tell the guy is just, he takes it seriously. It's a living for him.
Yeah, and he skates well, he moves the puck well, he's strong enough. I like a lot of part of his game. Before I let you go, if there's one other type of food that you might want to try to get over your sushi, in the Filipino culture, they eat a duck fetus that's still inside the egg. It's called balat. Yeah, RC says it's very good.
That's
offside. Or a Ukrainian dish called studenots, which is basically a pig's feet in clear jello with garlic.
Oh, come on.
Well, if people are eating it, it's got to be good.
Yeah, I don't know about that, man. Feet? I draw the line at feet.
Yeah.
I'll eat a lot of things.
Okay. So
I draw the line at anything's feet.
So right now, you're going to either eat sushi or ballot. Which one are you eating?
I would take sushi.
Sushi, okay. All right, Chagger, we'll talk to you later.
I got to get going. I got to go cook some chicken.
Yeah, get on it.